So it's so good to see beautiful faces on the screen before I close my eyes for the meditation. And so we're just going to start out by breathing deeply and slowly. Breathing deeply and slowly and connecting with that beautiful space of peace that underlies all of the activity. In every moment of every day, that peace exists. It is a light-filled space of beauty and harmony and grace. It is that place within us that opens to the infinite, where our inner beings reside, where there is always love for us. As Abraham says, there is great love for you here. And in this space at the center of our being, there is great love here for us. And we can just breathe into that love and allow it to expand. Just breathing in and feeling that love. It exists all the time in every organ, cell, and system of our bodies. It exists all the time in our minds and our hearts. That love is the very essence of life within us. And we can tap into it and become conscious of it. Conscious of the love that is the truth of who we are. And we can just create a little path for it to follow. Perhaps from the top of our head and down. Down our arms to our fingers. Down our back and our legs to our feet. Down our faces and our chests and our bellies to our feet. Acknowledging that this love is everywhere present in our bodies. And this love that is the truth of who we are radiates out from us. It is not limited to our physical bodies, but it expands as we allow it to expand. Perhaps 6 inches from where we are. A little aura of light around us, 6 inches. And then expanding outward a bit more to fill the room that we're in. Perhaps to fill the house that we're in. Perhaps to connect with the 4-year-old birthday that's about to happen. Wishing Leo a happy birthday. Knowing that well-being abounds and that we can send this love anywhere we choose. So take a moment and just send the love somewhere. Send it to someone. Connect with a person or perhaps a place. Just allow your love to flow somewhere. Knowing that the love that we have to express is infinite because it comes from that divine love we started with at the center that is the love of our inner being. And as we connect with that love, we are able to expand that love infinitely, gloriously, beautifully beyond our physical presence. Into the universe. We can share it with our neighborhoods, our states, our country, our hemisphere, the whole world, our planet, our solar system, our galaxy. Our love can go anywhere we want our love to share. And so feeling the hugeness, the beauty, the power, the grace of who we are, we kind of reel it back in a little bit and come back into the presence of our physical bodies as we share a reading from yesterday's workshop at 10:10:20, where Abraham was asked, "What if the things I'm trying to attract into my life contradict each other? For example, what if I'm trying to attract weight loss and cheesecake? And I want them both just as much. Do they cancel each other out? Should I focus on just one? Or can I have both?" "Seems like a contradiction, doesn't it?" Abraham said. "We think this is the best question that's ever been presented to us, maybe ever. Because you want freedom, but you also want motion forward. They are not opposites. You want big desires, but you don't want the negative emotion that's present when you're launching them. That is why we want you to embrace and adore every emotion on your emotional scale. And let's not call some emotions bad or wrong and other emotions good or right. Let's call them indicators of where you are in relationship to something. Both the weight loss or the trimmer physical apparatus and the cheesecake are topics or subjects. So that's what trips you up. When you're approaching your creation from the subject or topic point of view, rather than the emotional or point of attraction point of view. When you are thinking about the emotion or the feeling, you can find harmony in both the cheesecake and the weight loss. Because, oh, there is not much more satisfying if it's something that your palate appreciates than the depth of the taste of cheesecake. It's not slight or subtle. It's rich. And it's not like water. It doesn't get in your mouth and out of your mouth with no sticking. The cheesecake sticks around. It gets all over your tongue, all over your taste buds. In other words, cheesecake is something really worth savoring. And savoring is a feeling, an emotion, and it's satisfying. And it's not a contradiction from the satisfaction that you have in the movement of your body, the flexibility of your body, the liveness of your body, the good feeling of your body. So if you can get to the essence frequently of why cheesecake is satisfying, and let yourself feel the satisfaction without the guilt. In other words, guilt is far down on the emotional scale. It's down almost to the bottom. It's 21. Satisfaction is way up there with contentment, number 7. And ecstasy, which cheesecake can bring you, is all the way to the top. Are you getting a sense of what we're talking about? Feel the satisfaction. Decide before you eat it that you're going to eat it and that you're really going to enjoy it. You're not eating it to deliberately sabotage your weight loss plan. Not deliberately. You're eating it because you remember the satisfaction of it in your mouth and on your tongue. Yes? And then Abraham went on. Let's go a little deeper here. What if cheesecake doesn't feel like satisfaction to you? What if the last 200 or 300 times you've eaten it, you felt guilt? And what if when you don't like the way you look, you feel guilt? What if cheesecake and weight loss feel like they're on the emotional scale for you and they're not in a good feeling place? For a lot of you, that's where you've practiced it. You've practiced almost every good tasting everything into guilt. Those who seek to control you, whether they are, no matter who they are, whether they are well-meaning parents or well-meaning but confused anybody, or religions who seek to control you, they've discovered that one of the easiest ways to control you is to make you feel guilty. And it is an effective way to control you. You know why? Because in guilt, you're far from receiving the clarity of your own inner guidance. You've cut yourself off from the guidance that is specifically, lovingly flowing toward you. And you're taking someone else's word for someone who may very well be wanting their benefit, not yours. So is this really worth thinking about? Isn't it? We want you to ask yourself, when you think you have contradictory intentions or desires, how does each of them fall for you on the emotional scale? It could be a fun game for you. Another way of using the emotional scale for great advantage and adventure and progress. You could take any subject, like where does, like in this case, we can't sneak up on you, but you could say, all right, where's this subject, cheesecake? Where is it on the scale? And most of you would say something like guilty pleasure, but there is no such thing. It's either guilty or it's pleasure. You gotta pick. You gotta pick. Because you don't feel two emotions at the same time. Maybe sometimes you have felt pleasure about it and sometimes you felt guilty. But you gotta decide. Where does it usually light on the scale? And then you gotta do something about where it usually lights. This is your work. Are things starting to open up in your mind? Are things popping all over the place? If you're hearing us, and so many of you are right now giving yourself the freedom to romp over all of this scale, guilt-free. Because like the fuel gauge in your vehicle, it's not offered to you as judgment. It's offered to you as clarification about where you stand in the fullness of your tank. That's all. No judgment. Someone asked, where did judgment fall? And we would put it at number 18 down there with revenge. And the other day we added righteous indignation to that same spot. We would also put rebellious there. So did we answer your question? What if the things I'm trying to attract in my life contradict each other? They just don't. They don't contradict each other. Each one of them has a place right now where you can feel they belong on the scale. And if it's up there where it feels good, there's nothing to do about it except savor more of it. And if it's lower down on the lower parts of the scale that don't feel good, then you know what to do. Wanna take cheesecake up the scale? Ha! We want you to. So Abraham issued a challenge, and I am saying yes to the challenge. I am going to do my best to take cheesecake up the scale from guilt to ecstasy, and we'll see how it goes. Feel free to substitute anything you like for cheesecake in this. It's not about the subject, it's about the feelings. So number 21, guilt. I feel guilty when I even think about eating cheesecake. I remember what my mother used to say about my weight, and it makes me feel guilty to think of eating cheesecake. Number 20, I am so jealous that other people get to eat cheesecake without guilt. That really pisses me off. I feel rage. When I think that there are other people who've spent the 69 years I've spent feeling guilty about cheesecake, eating cheesecake, and maintaining their weight. I would like revenge on those people. No, really, I'd like revenge on all of the diet books and parents and well-meaning others who taught me that sugar and cheesecake was bad for me, and that it would ruin my life and make my body sick and give me diabetes and a million other things. It was their fault that I feel guilty about cheesecake. And I'm mad at all of that. I'm mad at all of them. I didn't need that, and I wish they hadn't done that. And I'm discouraged because I've been feeling that way for a long time. I don't know if I can move up the scale from there, but I'm sure gonna try. I'm gonna blame those others. It's not my fault. I didn't choose to feel guilty about cheesecake. It was imposed upon me. I am worried that if I started eating cheesecake, it would cause a problem with my weight. And I kind of doubt that I could shift that vibration, but I doubt more that I can go without cheesecake the rest of my life. So I'm going to persevere. I'm going to feel a little disappointment that I haven't been able to master this prior to now. I wish that I had figured this out a long time ago. And I'm sort of overwhelmed at the idea that it could change that much. I am not sure I can do that. But I'm impatient to try. Why not shift that? Abraham says I can do it. I'm a little pessimistic still that I can do it. I don't know for sure that I can do it. But I can try to do it. I certainly get bored with feeling guilty about this, that, and the other thing. I have had enough guilt in my life. Oh, yeah. I am really willing to let go of the guilt. I am really willing to move beyond guilt in my life. And that's a refreshing thought. We're up to 7, contentment. Abraham said last week that 7 up is where you want to be. And so we made it to 7. And somebody posted a picture of a can of 7 up. And cheers to 7 up. It feels good to think that I could shift this belief and live my life without guilt. I like that idea. That idea feels good to me. I can be hopeful about that. Abraham says I can do it. My mother's not still here telling me. I can put the diet books in the giveaway pile. I can move up from this. And I'm kind of optimistic, actually. If I eliminate all that stimulation, maybe I will be okay. Maybe I can remember what Abraham says, and I can feel more enthusiastic about cheesecake than I have in a long time. Positive expectation and belief is number 4. And I believe Abraham. Abraham tells me the truth year in, decade out, and I believe it. If they say I can do this, then I can do it. I can focus in this way. I can continue to notice where I am on the scale, and I can shift it. I can do this. I am excited about doing this. I really feel happy at the idea that I can do this. It's fun. And I'm enthusiastic about eating cheesecake. That makes me happy. And I heard recently from Abraham that moving from enthusiasm to passion is just momentum. The longer I talk about cheesecake, the more I'm like laugh and talk faster and feel excited about the possibility of cheesecake. And I'm up to 2, and number 1 is joy. So if I think about basking in anticipation of cheesecake, what's the favorite kind of cheesecake? Oh, I like that one that has chocolate and caramel in it. And I like the plain one that has strawberries on it. And oh, the piña colada one. That's an amazing one with the pineapple and the coconut. Cheesecake Factory is a really cool place. And they always have fun things to explore and to share. I could spend a lot of time in front of the case at Cheesecake Factory in my imagination, savoring the flavors of all of the different kinds of cheesecake, trusting that cheesecake on the emotional scale in the 7-up area is going to be good for me, and I can become a savorer of cheesecake. I can become a basker in cheesecake. I could specialize in a single cheesecake, or I could flitter all over the cheesecake landscape and try lots of different kinds of cheesecake and see how much fun I could have in the cheesecake experience. I know I'm really good about eating cheesecake. I have a little bit at Cheesecake Factory after my dinner, and then I bring it home and I have a couple of forkfuls for several days on end. I don't scarf down cheesecake. I love to savor cheesecake. It is such a pleasure. It is such an exciting, joyful, passionate pleasure to savor cheesecake. And as I get better and better at savoring cheesecake, I bet it will make me better and better at savoring all of the priceless experiences of life. Better at savoring the birthday parties. Better at savoring the sweet faces of the children. Better at loving all of the things in life that are beautiful. I can become a savorer of life as a whole. I can remember that my task is to bask and that to simply be here day after day, moment after moment, loving life. There is so much to love. I can go to the park and love the birds. I can look at the sky and love the movements of the clouds. I can look at the sky and love the moon and the sun. I can look at the sky and see that it's about to rain, and I can imagine the collective sigh of relief that comes from the dry woods and the animals who need rain to live. We all need rain to live. And so as the storm comes in tonight, I can appreciate the blessing it is to have rain. I can appreciate so much of life that I may have been tempted to criticize before. I can look for the good everywhere I look, and if I'm not finding it, I can remember, look somewhere else. Turn the other cheek. It's okay. I don't have to focus there if it doesn't feel good. I can go back to focusing on the places that feel good. And if they don't feel good, I can romp up the emotional scale and find something to feel good about each one of those things. I am so grateful to Abraham for giving us permission to change the way we feel, to change the way we believe, and giving us the sense, the faith, the optimism that we can do this. It's okay to do this. In fact, it's actually fun to do this, to get the energy moving, to get the energy flowing, to feel the appreciation, to feel the love, to savor, to bask, to enjoy, to take pleasure in life. What a gift it is to take pleasure in life. Life is supposed to be good for us, and in fact, life is good for us. Everything works out for us, and we are blessed. We are so loved. As Abraham always says, there is great love here for you. And so we just stretch a little bit as we come to the end of this meditation. And we remember that we can allow ourselves to feel that love, to savor that love that our inner being is sending to us in any moment of any day. It's always available to us, and it's our choice. We get to choose. and it is good. And so I just invite you to stretch, to smile, and when it feels good, you can open your eyes.